sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me. Anyone else but me. Anyone else but me. No.
Are you or do you have a relative who is a veteran of World War II? Or how about any war? There is an effort underway at the Wisconsin Veterans Museum to collect stories from Wisconsin veterans and to record these memories for posterity. This effort's been going on since 1994, but what's new is that the first oral historian in the state has been hired to oversee this effort. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We will talk about the importance of oral history and this Veterans Oral History Project and the urgency that's going on right now to collect the stories from aging World War II veterans who are now in their 80s and 90s and passing away at a very fast rate. According to the Veterans Administration, 550 World War II veterans die nationwide every day. The Wisconsin Veterans Museum would like to preserve their memories, their oral history. So call us if you or someone you know is a veteran of World War II. We'd love to hear from you. Or we welcome any questions you have about this project. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on our Facebook page at The Joy Cardine Show or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Very happy to have with us our guest, Ellen Brooks, oral historian at the Wisconsin Veterans Museum. She also worked at the Lower East Side Tenement Museum in New York City, where she aided in organizing that museum's oral history collection. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me on.
I'm happy to have you with us. So, first of all, what exactly is an oral historian?
That's a great question. So I have my master's degree from Columbia University. They have the only oral historian program in the country. It's just about 5 or 6 years old at this point. So oral history, if you kind of want a little bit of a clinical definition, it's the field of study and the method of gathering, preserving, and interpreting the voices and memories of people, communities, and participants in past events. And that's the definition from the Oral History Association. And oral history, it's pretty interdisciplinary. It's kind of fluid, and oral histories are collected differently and used differently across the board. Here at the museum, Wisconsin Veterans Museum, when we refer to oral history, we're talking about interviews, mostly audio. We do have some video with Wisconsin veterans that focus on their time in service and their life related to service.
Mm-hmm. So what are you doing on a day-to-day basis?
That's also a great question. There's a lot that goes into kind of organizing our program here. I'm in charge of our archives, so that means organizing our current collection, kind of getting everything in place, making sure everything's transcribed, in the process of digitizing a lot of our interviews, and then also getting it cataloged so it can be made accessible online. And then I also am in charge of collecting new interviews. And sometimes that means I go out myself and talk with veterans and record their stories. Mostly that means we have volunteer interviewers here who are usually veterans themselves, go out into the field and collect stories. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also in charge of a little troop of volunteers here who I really owe everything to. They really make the program run.
So let's say you are doing this interview. What are you looking for?
Well, we're really looking to make the military and the veteran experience as personal and as accessible as possible. The interview is really not about facts and dates and getting everything correct and accurate. It's really about the veteran's personal experience, how they felt, what they were thinking, how people were reacting to them. We're just trying to make it so anyone who is using these interviews or listening to these interviews or interacting with these interviews in any way can really feel what the veteran was feeling.
Yeah, so why is it important to collect these stories?
Why is it important? It's just important, I think, oral history is important in general to kind of get a diverse perspective on anything, and especially when it comes to military history. I think a lot of people think they know a lot about wars, or they do know a lot about wars, they know a lot about the military, but it's really important to put a face on this veteran issue and put a face to the people who are actually serving our country and make sure we really understand how they experienced these conflicts.
Yeah, and certainly, you know, someone could write a diary or something, or somebody could write accounts. Why is it important to hear the veteran's voice?
Well, I think that probably a lot of your listeners might agree. There's something about hearing the human voice and actually interacting with that audio that's just, it's very moving. And what happens in an interview between a trained interviewer and the narrator can be really amazing. It can bring up a lot of moving things. It can bring up a lot of emotions, and it's really an experience unlike any other.
And what happens to these oral history interviews once you're done?
So in our collection at the moment, we have almost 1,900 interviews. And what happens when we collect them is we put them into our process to get them transcribed. Once they're finished being transcribed, most of them by our wonderful volunteers, they go into our catalog here at the library, at the research center, at the museum, so that they can be made accessible online. People can search for them on our webpage, and they can also search for them through our catalog. And then the next step, after we kind of, we have quite a backlog to deal with. I've only been here for 2.5 months, so I'm kind of picking up where everything was left off. But the next step is to try to figure out ways we can use these oral histories in our public programs, use them in our educational programs, and use them in our exhibits.
Mm-hmm. And how do you decide who to interview, or how do you discover the interviewees?
Well, we interview any veteran of any conflict, whether they were deployed, whether they saw action. We want to listen to every veteran's story who has some type of connection to Wisconsin. So what's been happening since I've been here, people have been contacting me. Hopefully, now that I'm on your show, there will be other people who hear about us and learn about us and are interested and will contact me directly. And we kind of go out to different veterans organizations and do a little advertising, and we just try to spread the word any way we can.
Mm-hmm. We mentioned the World War II veteran at the top of the show. We will certainly love to hear from veterans of all wars too during this show, but there is some urgency to get these stories recorded now because these World War II veterans are passing away.
Definitely. We have about half of our collection is currently World War II veterans, which is amazing, but that's still only 1,000 interviews, which is a lot on one hand and also not enough on the other.
Oh, really? And do we have any idea how many more to get every World War II veteran in Wisconsin?
Well, the current statistics I just looked up this morning on the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs website says there's, well, this was 2012. So in 2012, there was about 27,000 World War II era veterans living in the state of Wisconsin. So I'm assuming that number has decreased mm-hmm. since then. But I know that we still get calls from mostly grandsons or children of World War II veterans who are interested in having their grandfather or grandmother or mother or father interviewed.
Well, my dad was a World War II veteran. He's gone now. He passed away 15 years ago or more. And I remember him telling, you know, some of his war stories, but we never recorded them on tape. And I'm sorry we didn't do that because, you know, my memory is fading as I'm getting older, too. You
know. Yeah. One of the issues we have is a lot of people think they don't have a story to tell. We often interact with veterans who just don't think that their experience was important enough or interesting enough, and we really try to encourage everyone to tell their story because everyone has something to say, and it does happen that, you know, that veteran passes on and their children's memories get fuzzy or they didn't write anything down, and so it's really important to get things recorded when we can.
Yeah. Now, we have, we do have some clips that you or the museum suggested to us,
mm-hmm.
and we have one here. Tell us about Ruth Bonner.
Okay. It's a great interview. It's only about half an hour long. Most of our interviews are anywhere between half an hour to 2 hours. I've seen some that go on longer. But Ruth was born in 1920, and she was interviewed in 2007 by one of our veteran interviewers, Terry McDonald. This interview is fully transcribed, and she served in World War II. She was part of the WAVES, the Women Accepted for Volunteer Emergency Service. And the clip that I created for you folks is Ruth talking about her time at the National Naval Medical Center in Bethesda, Maryland, and talking about being part of the WAVES, and she actually even got to meet Eleanor Roosevelt.
All right, let's take a listen.
When they checked my credentials, they sent me to the National Naval Medical Center in Bethesda, Maryland.
When you got out of boot camp there,
yes,
huh?
I went directly there because I was both qualified in laboratory work and in X-ray, and the two were a separate job in the service. Mm-hmm. So they sent me to Bethesda to see where they wanted to send me because they knew that they could send me on a job. I didn't have to be trained.
Right.
So I was there with all these trained WAVES. Oh, I tell you, they came from all over the United States. I couldn't believe all the girls that had been out on jobs and were highly trained, why they were going into the service. So I felt really good about being there.
Mm-hmm.
I really did. And my most enjoyable experience at Bethesda was meeting Eleanor Roosevelt.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. She walked down the hall with me. She was so tall that she laid her arm right across my shoulder like this, and she's way up here, you know.
Uh-huh.
She had feet this big, I swear. And she wore like a man's shoe, and they were made by Health Spot. But she was a delightful person. She was so nice, and she so appreciated us girls coming into the service mm-hmm. to do a job. They treated us royally at Bethesda, and I really enjoyed being there.
Wow, that was great because, yes, you talked to a World War II era veteran, and I like that this is a woman as well, and You're not necessarily getting battle stories, but this experience meeting Eleanor Roosevelt and the size of her feet, even.
Yeah, it's a great interview, and it's a good example. We do have several, probably not the right word, but we do have interviews with women veterans. I think we have just over 100, which is great, but we definitely would like more. It's just a really fun interview. Ruth was a lot of fun and really willing to tell her story, and she had a lot else to say.
Well, let's invite other listeners who may have a relative, maybe are veterans themselves, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are talking about the oral history program at the Wisconsin Veterans Museum with the oral historian at the Wisconsin Veterans Museum, Ellen Brooks. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org.
He was a famous trumpet player from old Chicago way. He had a boogie style that no one else could play. He was a top of mind at his craft. But then his mama came up and he was gone with a job. He's in the army now, a born reveille. He's a boogie 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 company B.
We are talking with the new-ish oral historian recently hired at the Wisconsin Veterans Museum about the Veterans Oral History Project and the importance of preserving oral histories, and we're welcoming your members, whether you're a veteran of World War II or have a relative who is, or the veteran of any war for that matter, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Ellen Brooks, oral historian at the Wisconsin Veterans Museum. And Sherry in Little Chute is with us. Hello, Sherry.
Yeah, hi. My dad is a World War II veteran, and I find that when anybody, meaning his children, ask him anything about the war, he just sort of gets very emotional, clams up, and just plain doesn't want to talk about it. Your interviewers must have to be extremely skillful at getting some of these stories out of these guys because, there are just some, experiences that just plain don't want to be told.
Yeah, what about that, Ellen?
Yeah, that's definitely an issue, and I can't say that we're going to be able to get every interview done with everyone and get everyone's story down, just because there are people who don't want to talk about things, and we're not going to force them to. But luckily, we have trained interviewers, and most of them are veterans themselves. This was put into practice before I got to the museum, having veterans interview veterans, and they found here at the museum before I was here that that was really ideal, that a veteran is a little bit more willing to open up to someone who has had the similar military experiences, even if it's a different conflict. A lot of our interviewers today are Vietnam veterans, but just having that shared experience of being in the military tends to really open people up, and so that's basically how we deal with that.
Yeah, well, that's a good idea. And I suppose, too, you can ask a veteran who maybe saw some terrible things to talk about some happy memories, too, that, you know, there certainly was the, you know, that band of brothers type of thing going on.
Sure, yeah, it's definitely about striking a balance and trying to build a rapport with your narrator and just trying to make it a conversation, trying to make it as comfortable for them as possible and seeing what they come up with.
Well, if... Sherry, do you think your dad would want to talk with a Wisconsin Veterans Museum oral historian veteran?
I sure could try, you know. Where is this museum?
So the museum's located in Madison, and we're actually right across from the state capitol. We're on Mifflin Street. We were formerly housed within the Capitol building, but we've been at this location for about 20 years.
And so if somebody wants to volunteer a veteran to be interviewed, how do they go about that?
So the best way to do it is contact me directly. And so I can provide you with my phone number and email. You can also go on our website, which is wisvetsmuseum.com. And you can find me under the staff page. And you can also find information about the oral history program in general under the collections page.
Yeah, and we did put a link to the Wisconsin Veterans Museum on our website on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. But why don't you right now give your other contact information, and we'll copy that down too.
Sure. So my direct line here is 608-261-0537. And my email here is Ellen, E-L-L-E-N, dot Brooks, B-R-O-O-K-S, at dva.wisconsin.gov.
All right. So if anybody wants to volunteer or wants to suggest a veteran to be participate in this oral history project at the Wisconsin Veterans Museum, there you go. Sherry, thanks very much for the call. It was a good point. Sometimes maybe people don't want to talk. John in Richland Center is with us. Hi, John.
Hello. Good morning. My father died... right after 9/11, he was a Navy sailor, WW2, and he also didn't want to talk about his experience because it was so traumatical. But he told me once, very emotionally, that he went through, survived the worst typhoon in Navy history, where the United States Navy lost 3 destroyers to Davy Jones of the Deep. He was in a 110-foot harbor tug, and there was 12 men up in the pilot house. Some of them were crying and some of them were praying. And his harbor tug rolled like a barrel. And in the morning, he could hear the men crying from them destroyers for help. And there was nothing they could do for them.
Oh, yeah. Wow, what a powerful memory that is, to be in such a terrible typhoon like that. Yeah. Thanks very much for sharing that, John. But you said your dad just recently passed away.
Yes, right after 9/11.
Yeah, so that's that particular story is not going to be gathered, Ellen. At least not, but it probably is documented in some other ways.
Yeah, and that actually brings up a good point. Right now, obviously, our priority is to get the firsthand accounts of all veterans. We are considering in the future maybe starting a program where we sit down with the sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters of veterans and maybe trying to collect those memories, like the memory that John had of his father. Obviously, it's not the first-person account, but it is a second-person account of someone who is very close to the person that was there, and those memories are important, too.
Yeah. Thanks again, John. Matt in La Crosse is with us. Hello, Matt.
Morning, Joy. Morning, Ellen. My brother actually is in North Africa right now with Marines in the Reconnaissance Division, worked for the State Department. I had an uncle that was a day away from dropping bombs on Iraq in the first Gulf War. And then my grandpa was a World War II artillery instructor in World War II in the early 1940s and was almost going to be sent to Europe until his dad was needed to retire from farming, and they sent him back to the farm instead of sending him to Europe. But my real claim to fame, and this we have, my family has recorded, was my great uncle was actually at Pearl Harbor on Pearl Harbor Day, and I believe was on board the Arizona and had to swim across the harbor for his life. And so that was a pretty crazy story. But
wow.
My aunt works for, I think she works for the Wisconsin Arts Board along with UW-Madison, and she's like an archivist as well. So we did record that story, and I'm sure you maybe even know her, or I'll make sure that she contacts your office to get you that story, because that was a first-hand account of that particular moment in history there. So,
well, what if people do have their own recordings of veterans? Can they submit those, Ellen?
They can, and we're kind of working out a way that we can partner with different programs and individuals as well, which we've done a bit in the past. They can submit them to us, and we can try to work with them. It depends on what format they're in and other things like that. And so what they can do is they can contact me, and it's basically usually just a matter of working out the legal release issue, trying to figure out who has the rights to the interview, and that stuff can get a little messy, but usually we can handle it.
Well, that's really, and it was a real family affair, it sounded like, for Matt's family. Do you find that in your interviewing?
We do, yeah. It's great to kind of see the legacy, and especially in Wisconsin. Wisconsin has such a history of military service. And so, for example, we have an interview with a man who served pre-World War I. The interview was done in 2004. This man was over 100 years old,
wow.
And he served in the Mexican border conflict and then also in World War I. His son served in World War II, and his grandson served in Vietnam. So it's a pretty common thing, and it's really neat to see.
Oh, that's interesting. So is there a common thread that you hear throughout your interviews?
There are several. I think one of the ones that I hear a lot, I did an interview with a gentleman in November, and what he kept saying was that the military really kind of brought him up. He really grew up in the military, and I feel like that's a pretty common experience for a lot of veterans, that the military is kind of, it's their school, for some people it becomes their family, it kind of raises them to be the person they become.
Well, let's listen to another clip. Let's go to the clip featuring a young veteran, Ty.
Yep.
So go ahead and tell us a little bit about Ty.
Ty just did an interview with us recently, just this last month in January, and he was interviewed by Rick Berry, who's one of our superstar volunteers around here. And so Ty was born in 1972, raised just right around here, right around Madison, and he has served with the Navy for, I think it's something, 22 years, I think. He's served with the Navy. He's still currently in the service. And toward the end of the interview that he did with Rick was asking Ty why he agreed to do this interview, why he thought it was important to do an oral history interview for the Wisconsin Veterans Museum, and that's this response.
I really like the idea of the museum to begin with. I'm really excited about that. My father was quite the historian and was interested in archives and being part of them and whatnot, and they did a little presentation about what it was about and how anybody can do it, and I thought about it, and I'm like, well, that makes a lot of sense, and you know what, I'm not doing anything. I mean, why don't I come on down and just share these experiences, and you know, maybe, I mean, this recording will collect dust and that'll be the end of it, or maybe somebody will find it and say, hey, you know, there's maybe a couple of kernels of something I can glean out of this and be a benefit to them.
That's great. Did Ty have any kernels of wisdom?
He had some really interesting stories. He was actually the communications officer for a little while, so In addition to his interview, he brought in a bunch of movie reviews that he had done for a Navy publication, and so we're talking to him about possibly archiving those reviews.
That's
great. Yeah, that was a great. It was a great interview. We actually conducted that interview at the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs headquarters, which is kind of right across the way from the museum. And we're a part of the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, the museum, and they've been really helpful in kind of supplying us with space and helping us get in touch with veterans and really encouraging us in the program.
Yeah, so this is sometimes people can, active military can say, hey, I'll come on down and somebody might interview them.
Yeah, it's the same issue where sometimes people are hesitant because they feel like they don't have a story to tell yet, or they'll, you know, they haven't been deployed, so they don't have that experience. And it's really up to the veteran. I can't convince people, I can't twist your arm to give us your story, but we're more than happy to talk to anybody, regardless of what situation they're in their service.
And these stories, since you have been collecting, or the Wisconsin Veterans Museum has been collecting these stories since 1994, are they there for me to just look around and listen to as a member of the general public?
Well, we are working on it. We have about 700 of the interviews transcribed, fully transcribed, and those are available on the website and also available through our library catalog here at the Research Center. My big project right now is trying to digitize all of these interviews. Most of them that were done before last year were done on cassette tapes. So only about 400 so far are digitized, and we're working to make all of them digital so we can start putting at least clips, but maybe eventually full interviews up on the website so that, you know, everyone nationwide can listen to them. For the time being, people are more than welcome to come into our research center. We're open from 9 to 3:30, Monday through Friday, and they can speak with me, and I can try to help them get a hold of the interviews.
Tell the story that about the two grandsons who stumbled across their grandfather's interview on the museum's website.
Yeah, it was actually really neat. This happened in December. I was contacted by two grandsons, two separate incidents, and they both, I don't know if they found them by Googling their grandfathers or if they were specifically looking on our website, but on our website there's a alphabetical listing where you can click the last the letter and get the last names of all the people whose transcripts are available. And so these two separate grandsons, one's name was John and the other was Jacob, wrote in to me and asked how they could access their grandfather's interviews. And in Jacob's case, his interview with his grandfather was done in 1994. His grandfather was a World War II veteran. And Jacob and his father didn't even know that this interview existed. So I was able to reach out to them, get them copies of the actual audio. They could get the transcript online themselves, but I could get them copies of the actual audio, and they were able to listen to that.
That's great. Yeah. Let's go to Sarah next in Madison. Hello, Sarah.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you so much for doing what you're doing. I travel each year with vetsroll.org. It's a project out of Beloit that we take 10 Badger coach buses with World War II, Korean War vets, and Rosie the Riveters to Washington on a four-day trip. And we hear these stories, and we try to remember them. But I just wanted to say we will pass on in communications with these veterans and even the Rosies that their stories want to be heard by the museum. I mean, just amazing, amazing things. We had a gentleman last year on my particular bus that served in Korea, and he felt guilty for being on the trip. He said he felt like a freak. He felt like, why was he alive? And the four men who were around him died. And he opened up to one of our assistants and told his story. And after the trip, his wife came up and thanked us. And now he's open to talking about it. So I would encourage anybody who's listening that has a father or a mother or any kind of, you know, person that served during that era, I would encourage them to look into one of these trips like Vets Roll or an Honor Flight, because traveling with men and women who experienced such similar to awful things and as well as entertaining things really opens them up.
Oh, Elena, response?
Oh, that just sounds great. It was vetsroll.org.
Vetsroll.org. In fact, I'm headed to a meeting tonight, and I will bring it up, and we will definitely get it in our materials and attempt to get it on our website.
That's so great.
The stories are amazing. A gentleman I traveled with my very first year served on the Murmansk convoys, and unfortunately, he lives in Rockford, so he wouldn't probably apply for this, but he just received last year a medal from the Russian government for getting supplies to the front. Just amazing men. And, you know, in regards to the families, I am so honored to be able to travel with them when some of their family members can't, that I just hope that when we get back that they share some of these stories. It's just, it's changed my life. It's changed hundreds of people's lives because there's 100 assistants that go every year with these folks. And it's just incredible to hear these stories.
That sounds like an amazing program, and I know how you feel about meeting these people. It's a really fantastic experience to like be honored enough to meet these individuals.
Thank you, Sarah, for the call. We'll take more of your calls, your questions, your memories, your experiences. If you are a veteran, or if you know a veteran that has a story to tell. Our guest is the oral historian at the Wisconsin Veterans Museum, Ellen Brooks, recently hired by the Wisconsin Veterans Museum to oversee this Veterans Oral History Project, where the museum is collecting oral histories of all Wisconsin veterans, all branches, all wars, all conflicts, all eras. But there is a certain urgency going on to collect the stories of World War II veterans, as many are in their 80s and 90s and passing away at a fairly fast rate. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
Don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me. Anyone else but me. Anyone else but me.
World War II experiences of Wisconsin veterans are being preserved by the Wisconsin Veterans Museum through their oral history program. Actually, the experiences of veterans of all conflicts being preserved through this oral history program. We are talking with Ellen Brooks, the oral historian at the Wisconsin Veterans Museum, and welcoming your stories and your questions for her. Let's go back to the phones. Eugene in Viola is with us. Hi, Eugene.
Good morning. Good morning, Joy. I was in Wauconda, Lake County Fort Preserve, I think kind of a suburb of Chicago, about 3 or 4 years ago. I had a Civil War reenactment. And I saw a gentleman coming toward me with a walker, and he had World War II cap on. I said, "Sir," I said, "do you get a free shoe shine?" So he sat down in his walker, and I was polishing his shoes, and I asked him, well, kept talking to him. You've got a captive audience for about 10 minutes. And I got talking to him, asked him what theater he was in. He said, South Pacific. Then he asked me one question. He said, "Do you remember that ad from World War II, Rose of the Riveter?" And I said, "I sure do." And he said, "That was his sister they used for a profile for that."
Wow.
More or less. And I just sat there in awe of the situation.
Well, I guess you say you got these stories while you're shining his shoes?
Yeah.
you gotta get a recorder over at a shoe shine place, Ellen.
Yeah, apparently so.
That's really good.
That's
Eugene,
a great story.
Thanks very much. Our next caller is Jerry in Milwaukee. Hello, Jerry.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you for calling.
You know, I have a question. I'm a veteran of Vietnam, but I didn't call about that. Wondering in regards to World War II veterans and the Korean War veterans, are you getting any input from particularly black veterans and their unique experiences being black during that time, other than the horrors of war? I mean, their experience as Americans.
I think I'm not sure if I understood the question correctly, because I think you were breaking up a little bit, but were you asking about black veterans in World War II?
Right. Yeah. He was wondering if you were getting the stories of black veterans of World War II and Korea, especially their experience of being black in the military.
Yeah, that is a great question, and that is one thing that I'm really excited about working on now that I'm here at the Veterans Museum, is diversifying our oral history collection. We do have interviews with minorities. I think the majority of that is with black African Americans. We also have some interviews with American Indians, as well as some Latino-Latina interviews. So it's on our radar. I would love it if anybody who's listening knows anybody who is a minority who would be willing to do an interview with us, because that is a really important story, and it's much different than the rest of the perspectives that we have here so far.
Yeah, so if Jerry or anybody else knows, again, you can contact our guest, Ellen Brooks, through the Wisconsin Veterans Museum, and we have the website up on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, and we'll, I think if people go to the website, your number and email are there as well, Ellen?
Yeah, if they go to wisvets.com, wisvetsmuseum.com, sorry.
Let's take another caller who's been waiting quite a while. Let's go to Leah in Green Bay. Hi, Leah. You're on the air.
Hi. I thought you forgot me for a minute. I wanted to congratulate the museum on hiring a professional to do this. I was actually at the Tenement Museum more than once. It was a great experience. And I just wanted to give another angle here. I'm a personal historian, so families come to me to do their family histories. And I just happened to have two families where they had letters from World War II veterans. One of them is called Your Loving Son, Philip, which actually won an award nationally. And the other one's about to come out, From Philadelphia to the Battle of the Bulge. So these aren't Wisconsin vets, but what I want to encourage people to realize is that they might have a great treasure in letters, and I'm just wondering if Ellen would want to say something about that, whether they would be useful to you, to the museum.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much for setting that up. It's true that we collect items, artifacts, and letters and oral histories only with Wisconsin veterans or with people who have a connection to Wisconsin. But that being said, we are always looking to accept new artifacts. Our current collection is 26,000 artifacts, and that includes objects. And then we also have an archives, a paper and photographs and things like that. So you can go to our collections page on the website and click on Donate Materials and learn a little bit more about talking to our archivists here. And there's a process we go through to decide what we're going to keep here at the museum. And it's a great way to preserve for what you and your family have, and to just kind of keep that story going and get that story public for you, yourself as a veteran, or your family.
You know, we had a listener calling in wondering if this oral history project at the Wisconsin Veterans Museum was connected with a program where interviews are ending up in the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C. That caller might be confusing this effort with StoryCorps. It's actually a public broadcasting effort where they're collecting oral histories of anybody, not just veterans. And these stories are ending up in the Library of Congress or not. Are you involved at all with the Library of Congress?
We're not involved with the Library of Congress per se. The Library of Congress does have their own separate veterans oral history program. It's a bit more general. I don't want to say it's more generic. I suppose it's really a system through which pretty much anyone can do an interview, submit an interview, and have it archived at the Library of Congress, which is, it's definitely a good thing because it's certainly better than nothing, and it's great to have all the stories possible available. We take a slightly more direct approach, and we really get those Wisconsin veterans, and we have very, very trained interviewers do the interviewing and we archive them. So we're not affiliated. The Library of Congress is definitely something for people to look into, but we'd really encourage people to contact us if you're a Wisconsin veteran or you know one.
I know that you're fairly new at the Wisconsin Veterans Museum, but who decided back in 1994 we should do this, and why?
Well, it was a researcher and an archivist named Mark Van Els. He's the one who started the program, and I think my understanding is that he kind of started just for his own curiosity, just to do his own type of research, and everything just kind of spiraled from there. It's been a really successful program. We started in 1994, but we have interviews from before then because they were gifted to the museum or donated to us. And there have been people before me who have kind of overseen the collection. I am the first full-time professional oral historian on staff. But we've been working pretty hard since 1994 to collect these stories.
Mm-hmm. Well, before we run out of time this hour, let's hear one more story and tell us about Susan and what is her story?
Sure. This is an interview we did with a veteran named Susan Pronke, and it was actually one of the first transcripts that I read all the way through when I first got to the museum. Susan was born in 1957. Her father actually served in World War II, and Susan was in the United States Army from 1980 to 1996. And her story is really neat. She talks about having always wanted to be part of the Army and all the places she traveled, all the things she did. And she also talks about kind of being out of place as a woman in the Army, trying to get her footing and find her way. And the clip that we'll listen to, she's talking about air assault school. She was in air assault school when she was in college, which is an extremely rigorous and detailed training that involves being up on the top of helicopters while they're in the air and rappelling out of them. And she was one of two females in her class at air assault school. And this clip is her relating the story of coming back from air assault school with her air assault badge and how people reacted.
You know, when I went back to college then, mm-hmm. and meeting up with the my other classmates, they were all males except Lori, the friend I was telling you about, and somebody else. I show up wearing my badge proudly, and the males are pissed off. They say, "Where did you buy that?"
Mm-hmm.
At first, I had no clue what they were talking about because, you know, I earned it rightfully, but then I sort of realized where they were coming from. They were jealous,
yeah.
Because I had the opportunity. I happened to be in the right place at the right time, and just sheer luck. And so it took me by surprise, the reaction, but then I realized, holy cow, there's a lot more to this military thing than I realized.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad I had that experience because it does pay off in future years.
Very good. So, yeah, everybody has a story to tell.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. And I love my job, and it's been great working here at the Wisconsin Veterans Museum. I'd really like to encourage people to come visit the museum. It's a great space. We have over 90,000 visitors a year, and the museum is free. So everyone should come and check us out, and it's been a really neat experience working here with the museum and the Department of Veterans Affairs.
Let's take another call. Sandra in Appleton. Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to hear from you. My father was a prisoner of war in the Philippines for 3.5 years, and his story was documented. I don't know if you're familiar with John Mino, who is a TV and radio personality up in our Appleton Green Bay market.
I am. I certainly am.
Yes, he did a whole series of prisoners of war and a whole documentary that was on TV. And it's just wonderful. If everybody has an opportunity, I don't remember what the name of it is, but I'm sure it's probably in the Library of Congress. I would check with him. But my dad went through a number of atrocities, some that are just too gruesome to even tell on the radio. But he lived 3.5 years and weighed 98 pounds when he got through it, and for years could not discuss what was going on. He didn't even want to tell, you know, his other members. But this community in our area that provides support for these guys through the flights to Washington is just wonderful. I just commend all of you that work in that area, because you need to document what really went on, and so people know what war is really like.
Sandra, is your father still with us?
My father unfortunately died 1 year ago, and John Mino did the eulogy at his funeral, and it was just beautiful. He was buried with full military honors, and anyone who is a prisoner of war is afforded those full military honors, which are the same that a president would get. It was just beautiful, just wonderful, the funeral that he had. So
I'm glad for that. I'm so sorry for your loss. Thank you for sharing the story. And I'm thinking, this is in the Green Bay television market. Somebody did a feature on this particular World War II veteran, prisoner of war, Ellen Brooks. Is that the type of thing you might collect as well?
It could be. It certainly could be. Like I said earlier, sometimes it's an issue of legal rights and legal releases. But I would be really happy to speak with anybody who's collecting this type of work, so we can kind of work together to get things archived properly and get things made accessible, because that's really the important thing, is making sure people know that these stories are out there and trying to get them out there in ways that people can access.
Boy, so much response. So we have Lisa in Walworth now. Hi, Lisa.
Hey there. We just discovered about 2 or 3 years ago, we always knew my mom was a whack in World War II, and her original job was to follow the general around the base and do photo ops. She was like his own personal photographer. And then all of a sudden she told my brother a few years ago that part of her other job was to, like, blow up, like, reconnaissance photographs for bombing runs, and she did the bombing run for Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Wow.
Yeah, so, you know, we just kind of looked at her and go, wow. So,
well, especially when you hear this is your mom, Lisa?
Yeah, you know, she's just like this little old grandma lady, and all of a sudden she comes up with this, and you're like, holy crap.
Yeah, it is really interesting to hear the stories that these people come up with, because you're it's like my grandfather. He's 91 years old, and sometimes you just don't look at them like they were young once, and it's really fun and also amazing to hear the stories that they have to tell.
That is amazing. Thank you, Lisa, for sharing that. I don't even know where to end here. We've got so much going on here. Jerry on Facebook writes, very interesting topic and program. Thank you. Our vets deserve all of the attention that we can give them. And another, Susan in Racine, she called to say that she is a hospice chaplain, and she has heard a lot of stories from veterans that were sharing their stories in their final days, that just before they died, they wanted to share these memories. They wanted to get these emotions off their chest before they pass. Any thoughts on that, Ellen Brooks?
I guess it's we can't make anyone talk before they're ready to, but anything that family members can do to kind of get people to get veterans to open up and be willing to come forward and speak with us would be much appreciated. And people can just say, they can tell whatever story they want to tell. There really is no right or wrong story. That's the beauty of oral history. There's no wrong way of telling your own narrative. I'd just like to encourage people to contact me and reach out, and it'd be great to hear these stories.
Yeah, give your contact information one more time. We did get calls asking for that.
Sure. It's 608-261-0537, and the email here is ellen.brooks
at dva.wisconsin.gov.
So are you ready to go out for an interview later this week?
I don't have anything scheduled for myself personally, but we've got some work here to do.
Well, thank you so much for being with us.
No problem. Thank you, Joy.
Ellen Brooks, oral historian at the Wisconsin Veterans Museum. Thanks to Robin Cherry for producing and directing this program. Thanks to Bill Martins for on-air production. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I hope you join us tomorrow at this time because it's the Week in Review. We'll review all the top news stories of the week with two guests from different perspectives. That's tomorrow at this time.